even if we once knew Christ according to flesh, we know him so no longer. I never even knew him according to flesh. I never saw him when he was a humble Nazarene carpenter's son walking through the streets of Jerusalem. We're in 2 Corinthians 5. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and I am with Dan Sharon and privileged to be with this fellow laborer for another day of face-to-face radio talk. Good morning, Dan Sheridan.
And good morning. And I love the warmth and sunshine of Windber, Pennsylvania in January. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you for bringing me this nice warm weather.
I recommend this Vacation Land USA to anybody. Come on down. Bring your sunscreen and your swimsuits. Bring your water skis. And you're going to have a really great time, especially in downtown Johnstown, which I took you there earlier today. And we had a wonderful time, as you recall.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah. You saw the fountain down there?
I saw the fountain. Yes, I did.
Yeah, and we saw, I think, a hardware store.
What else was there?
And there was a boarded up drugstore. Remember that one?
I think Cathetal was boarded up now that
that's
I recall.
Terrible. Yeah, that's right. Well, the flood hit it in 1889, and
they haven't recovered since.
No.
Yeah, okay.
They're trying, but
FEMA hasn't reached them in over 120
FEMA
years.
FEMA hasn't reached them. But you know what? This whole earth is going to be decimated.
Yeah,
we're coming to that point, and we're just seeing a sneak preview of it in Johnstown. But
It was a symbol of the eon, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
no offense if you live in Johnstown.
No, we haven't offended anybody in Johnstown so far, I hope.
Well, I've already done that a few times.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I'm looking at your sweatshirt there, and you have Charleston, South Carolina, and you have a palm tree.
I wish I was there right now. Absolutely.
But you're here with us, and like I say, we're here to herald the word, and we're going to start doing that any minute now.
Yeah, we got a great message.
And what is it exactly?
It's a message of conciliation.
Yes, that's right.
When I was a preacher, pastor, and my message was about sin and judgment, and then I realized how out of tune with God I was when my message was sin and judgment. Our message isn't about sin, and it isn't about judgment. Our message is about God and his bent, his desire. He's conciliated to the world. No matter what men have done, no matter how they treated Christ or how they treated Paul or any of his followers, God is bent on conciliation. And that is our gracious and glorious and happy message that we have. And yet how few people proclaim it. I came here last week to visit with you here in Clyde, and I was listening to Christian radio, unfortunately, but I hadn't listened to it in years, you know. And nobody had that message. It was all about how bad and how crappy you are and sin and judgment and all this other stuff. No one had a message of conciliation. Our message is a message that God is conciliated, and he pleads with you, sinner, to be conciliated to God. There is nothing that stands between a sinner and God. There is no hindrances, no sin. Nothing can get in the way between God and the sinner.
He's putting out the message to be reconciled to him because he's already conciliated.
Exactly.
And in case our listeners don't realize, in the Greek there are two different words, one for reconciliation and one for conciliation. Conciliation is one-sided.
Yeah.
And God is now conciliated to the world. And my friend Dan isn't making this up. It's in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, "Yet all is of God who conciliates us to himself." We know he's done a work with us through the cross, through Christ, and is giving us the dispensation, that is, the dispensing of the message of the conciliation, how that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. Now, that's a nice little extra bit of information we're getting there in verse 19, that he conciliates us and the world.
And what you know what I like about this is that back in my judgment and sin days, I always thought that God was kind of reluctant. And that Christ kind of came in and said, you know what, I'm going to save these people from my Father's anger.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this message, this work, this plan originates in God. All is out of God. He originated this plan. God was in Christ. Christ is the one through whom he fulfills his own heart. So it's not like Christ stepped in and said, you know, Dad, you know, you got a bad temper. I better help you out with that.
That's the view I had of Christ. He was this kind of effeminate Savior who tried his best, and he was trying to appease his angry father. And his angry father, in order to show the world how much they loved them, he wanted to punch the world in the face and kill us, but he couldn't, so he killed and punched his son instead. But that's so opposed to what he actually did. Christ was his love letter to show the world how much he loved them. It wasn't It wasn't someone he punished in our stead. Christ was not punished,
right,
as I was taught. Yes, he took on the consequences of sin, and he tasted death, but it was because God sent him as a love letter.
Yeah.
God sent him as an expression of his love for us. And God can't die on a cross, but he sent his own son to do that, and we see the love of God through him.
And you have to go to the Apostle Paul to understand this, which is what God is teaching people today. And here's the key note here. It says, conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them. Now, repeat that to yourself 50 times. Not reckoning their offenses to them. There is no hindrance. God is bent on conciliation no matter what men have done. Now notice also, God isn't demanding anything from man.
Yeah.
He's not demanding anything from man. He's pleading with them. Our message is not judgment and telling men they have to do anything. It's be conciliated to God. There's no hindrance. God isn't reckoning your offenses to you.
And here's your favorite verse that goes along with that from Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For in grace through faith are you saved. Remember, you repeated this about 50 times in a row. I thought it was only 49, but I think you're right. It was 50 times on the radio in Indianapolis. In grace through faith are you saved? And this is not out of you. And here's the shocking thing. It's God's approach present right there. That phrase, you helped me understand that it was God approaching us with a present. That is so unusual, because in the Old Testament, humanity had to approach God with a gift. You had to bring him something. You had to bring your turtle dove or your lamb to Jerusalem and offer him something. And now the shocking thing to learn is that God is now offering us a present. Here's Christ. That shows you how much he's conciliated.
And this, the term approach present was used in the Old Testament in the Hebrew Scriptures for somebody approaching into the presence of somebody of notoriety.
That's even more shocking, yeah.
And when they did that to gain admittance into his presence, it was like a gift that went before them to make the person of notoriety think better of the one that was coming in.
Right.
And so what is God doing? God is approaching mankind. He's giving them something. He's sending something before him, which is his son. And look at this, and this is my heart toward you. It's God's approach present to win our affection. Salvation, justification, isn't us coming to God. It's God coming to us. And so that's why I get all bent out of shape when I hear these people talk about the sinner's prayer. You have to say the sinner's prayer, or you have to repent, or you have to do this. It takes all the emphasis away from God onto the person, instead of God's awesome gift of justification through the approach present of his son. It puts the emphasis in the wrong place, and it really screws things up, puts things in the wrong place.
Yeah. Let's look at this word for a second. This word conciliation means to be at peace.
Yes.
And this Ephesians, this and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is based on the truth of Romans chapter 4 and 5 of the justification. Justification comes before peace. You can't have this peace toward God unless you realize that there's nothing you can do to screw up his favor of you. There's no way you can sin your way out of it. People want peace with God, but they try to get there
you can't
before the
grace.
Truth. Right. They try to get to peace before the truth of justification. Why can't I have peace? Why can't I have peace? The reason is you don't grasp Romans 4 or 5 that God looks at you, looks upon you as though you have the very righteousness of Christ, and there's nothing you can do to out-sin it. Romans 5:20. So built on that foundation, then we can get to 2 Corinthians 5 and say we have peace toward God now. And Romans 5 will get you there too. Romans 5 will get you there. Now we have peace toward God. This passage in 2 Corinthians 5, God's conciliated us, and then Ephesians 2, that he's coming to us to present us with a present. That is so not Old Testament truth. This is something new that we get through Paul, the fact that God can be at peace not only with us, but with the whole world.
And it's not a Christian truth either.
That's for sure.
It's not a Christian truth because Christianity cannot fully embrace the grace of God. There's always a hesitancy because of Christian doctrine. There's always a hesitancy to rely totally on grace. Romans 5 says grace reigns works for righteousness. Grace is a despot. It rules absolutely. There is no one who's challenging the throne of the grace of God. It is a king whose sway cannot be challenged. And we live in the era of grace. And until you get a hold of that, you will not appreciate God. Until you get a hold of that, scriptures won't make sense to you. Until you get a hold of that, you can't have peace and you'll always be questioning. So trust grace. It is a sovereign. It is a ruler that cannot be dethroned.
You know why that's not the Christian message? Because they have enthroned sin. They have made sin the despot, and they have made sin the thing that still stands between you and God. I'll never forget, in 1999, we were on the radio station in Cleveland, and we're talking about the salvation of all. We're talking about how God is at peace with the world through the sacrifice of Christ, and people were calling in, and they always had this new sin. Well, what about this? Well, what about people who murder? You're not saying that Hitler comes under this, and I'm saying, what don't you understand about all the sins of the world being put upon Christ? What if the cross had never come, we could entertain thoughts of eternal torment or condemnation, maybe, mm-hmm. if sin hadn't been dealt with. But all these people that called in acted as though nothing ever happened against sin. They're acting as though the cross never occurred. There was no difference between the day before the crucifixion and the day after the crucifixion. Still, sin is still on the throne, and it's still going to keep millions of people, even you and me, from knowing the peace of God.
And when people may ask, when people question it like that, when they bring up things like, what about Hitler? What that tells me is those people are self-righteous. What it tells me is that they think they deserve something that Hitler doesn't deserve.
Right.
That they're not as bad as Hitler. So the issue for people who talk like that in reality is they think they're good enough. They're not relying on the grace of God. And I would venture to say this. Now, talk about, this is going to be an extreme statement. Those who rationally, who reason that way, I would question, are you really a believer? Do you believe in the grace of God? Do you believe that Christ died
for our
sins?
No, they absolutely don't. They don't. And they're not in the body of Christ. And it's not that they're not in the body of Christ because they don't believe in the salvation of all, is that they believe when you press them about this Hitler issue or anybody else that they think is going to hell forever, it comes down to their behavior. You just expose it with a few simple questions that they believe their salvation was based on their behavior, that they kept it going, and that the reason I'm saved is because I'm not sinning. And how can you tell people that God's the savior of all mankind is just going to make people go out and sin? Why would you even believe in Jesus if you believed everybody's saved? In other words, I'm only behaving myself because I'm afraid of hell. And so it's the foundation is all wrong. And we're in the closing moments here, I got to touch on verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5. This is the whole point.
Oh, I think we should save this.
Are you sure?
I think we should
talk about this tomorrow.
This should take us into the weekend.
All right, this will take us into the weekend because 2 Corinthians 5:21, if you want to look at it ahead of time, folks, go ahead. But Dan and I are going to get into the nuts and bolts of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and why this is good enough for us and why to attempt to add to it with any ritual whatsoever, whether it's baptism, going to church, behaving yourself, might as well just slap the Savior in the face. This has been Martin Zender with my cohort in evangelism, Dan Sheridan, and we'll wind up the week tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.